She smiled a smile that was
WMFO Medford. It's 10 a.m. on the dot. I'm Mike. Let me tell you what I played in that last set before I introduce Steve and his guest. Started off with brand new noise from a band from Southern California called Rehash. Their latest record is Mock, that's Apple. Great cover. I love covers. Beatles cover from Umphrey's McGee from the London sessions back in 2015. That was I Want You, She's So Heavy, of course. But what you didn't know is I never would have played that if my friend Tom Ruprecht didn't say, hey, you got to listen to this and you might want to play this. He was right. Crow Follow had the third song of the set from 2020's record. It's a single called The Wrong Devil. One of my favorites from Joe Strummer's great solo career, Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros. In 2003, he had a record called Streetcore that was Get Down, Moses. And just had brand new noise from Boston's own Tom Satch Cairns. It's called Helen of Troy, New York. All right, it is time, and I'm taking a beat per Steve. Here we go. All right, brand new edition live of Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico, right here at WMFO.
That was a quick fade down there, Mr. Newman. Welcome to a special live episode of Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. We're back here at WMFO, if you didn't notice already, in Medford, Massachusetts. Our friend Mike Newman is manning the board. How are you today, Mr. Newman?
I am excellent, Mr. Steve. How are you?
Good. Thank you for the airtime. And I wanted to tell you something before, and I'll tell you now publicly.
Okay. All right.
You played a cover of a Beatles song, I Want You, on your show.
And just
I
wanted, did that, yeah.
Yeah, I want to tell you about another version of that song by a band called Spore. It's like no Beatles cover you ever heard. I Want You. I highly recommend it.
I'm going to look into that, Steve. Yeah. Thank you.
So I'm excited because my lovely, beautiful, wonderful friend, Charles Trolino, remembered by some of you as Charles Rivers, is co-hosting with me today. We're going to do something really special. Charles is a longtime music journalist, podcaster, musician with Waylon and Company and many other projects over the years. Well, hello there, my friend.
How
Charles.
Are you? Happy 5th. Happy 5th.
I don't celebrate the 4th of July, so...
You should celebrate the 5th, though. It's National Bikini Day.
It is?
It is.
It's really National Bikini Day?
It is. National Bikini Day. It's also National Apple Turnover Day, I believe.
Well, I can't see any reason why I wouldn't want to celebrate National Bikini Day.
Well, and you know, why wouldn't... We celebrate it all the time when you go to the beach, right? You're wearing one or you admire it.
You're a real historian, so it's pretty... true that bikinis are getting smaller and smaller every year, aren't they? Would you say that is factual?
No, I don't know anything. I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know?
No.
You just celebrate National Bikini Day, but you don't really
care
about
bikinis. More important, though, the 5th, and I think a lot of people will find this interesting, is that it is the 5th of July in New York, and it commemorates the abolition of slavery in 1827. 1752.
Wow.
Slavery was alive and well then.
But that's crazy.
Still alive and well kind of now, depending on what you do for work. But anyhow, that's not why we're here, right?
We're here to celebrate the summer. It's a political free zone. So Charles came to me with an interesting idea to talk about summer songs. He doesn't mean like summer breeze or summertime or boys of summer or summer girl or cruel summer or summer of 69. But we're talking about songs in the summer. Why don't you explain to me what we're going to do? Because you're going to drive and I'm going to be the passenger for a little while. So take it away, Charles.
All right, well, put your seatbelt on.
It's on, baby.
Yeah, I don't know. The summer, right? Is that like not the time when we were growing up that we had a little more time for ourselves? Out of school, you know, got to hang out a little later at night. You know, I don't know. I don't know much about it. I didn't write the book on it. But I do remember the music every summer.
Of course you do.
And I don't necessarily, like you said, it doesn't have to be a song with the summer in it. It doesn't even have to be an album or a song that came out in the summer. But, you know, wherever and whenever that song reaches you, well, then that's where it's at. And a lot of these songs hit you in the summer. And,
I'm glad you said that, you know, because some of the songs I put on my list, they weren't hits the summer they hit me. They were hits years before.
Right.
But they hit me because they were out when I was a little kid. And then I heard the song and I was like, this is my song of the summer.
On the radio. I mean, that's where you heard stuff. That's where we all heard it. And radio was cool because it was regional. It wasn't iHeart, you know, USA. Or whatever that means, but like we're here right now in a radio, old style radio studio. It still happens, right? And you still need the space and the roof over your head. And all these albums, all you know, surrounding us, even though they don't get played, they served a purpose at one point. The soundtrack of our lives.
You know what I love about you? When I say to you, like, you know, I do all my stuff on Zoom. You want to do it? No, I don't want to do Zoom. I want to do it live. And I'm like, well, I don't, how am I going to do it live? Where are we going to do it live? Luckily, I got WMFO.
Yep.
Because Charles is about as old school as he gets. He was a DJ at WEMF for a long time, right?
Yep.
And did you do other stations too?
They took some of those shows we did, cut them as podcasts. And I really won't say what stations they were on right now, because whatever, but
you have been on other stations, is what I'm
saying. I mean, I wasn't like Dale Dorman, you know, like, hey, kids, you know.
Dale Dorman? There's no one at this college that we're at will know who Dale Dorman is, but that's okay.
Only be one.
We know who Dale Dorman is, right,
$100 to the first college student who knows who he is. But, so the songs of the summer, I mean, they're the soundtrack. I don't know. There's just something. I mean, we don't have to explain what the summer does to some. Some people hate it. They can't wait for the winter. But most of us, you know, we're out and about. We got the radio on. Some of the best albums came out around the summer. You know, you could say the same thing about movies. You know, Spielberg created the summertime blockbuster. And then, you know, movies had soundtracks. And growing up, and there's a lot of songs that and albums I could have put on this list. But but some of them were just not hot enough.
For summer, I liked it. You
know, was I going to put the Grease soundtrack on and let that be one of my 20 top albums? But I had to get out of my way and say, well, that's what you listened to then in 1978. So what was your favorite song on that album? None. It was crap. But Olivia Newton-John that's kind of like what brought me to Grease. I don't know why. I was 6 years old? But You're the One That I Want, you know, that
song.
Yeah,
of course.
So that's a good example of a summer song. Whether it really defines you, makes you look cool, you got to get out of your way. And I did that. I put some of the stuff that was like, all right, you know, I'm an adult. I like these songs. I went way back to my childhood and said, why? You know, like, what are you doing listening to this album? Why is that, like, Crazy Nights, Kiss? Horrible album. Have I swore yet?
Not yet. No, okay. You have not.
Awesome. Horrible album. But it really defined the summer of 87. You know, do you know that? You know the album well, don't you? Terrible. Crazy Nights.
Tears of Falling's not on that one.
No.
I'm not a huge Kiss fan, but for some reason I like Tears of Falling. Don't ask
fine.
Me why.
Because it was a song that mattered to you.
It did matter to me.
Enough of all that. So I'm going to start off with one of the first songs off of an album, obviously owned by my older brother. He was really into Cheap Trick. Cheap Trick was one of those bands that still defined the summer for me.
Yes.
And, you know, I came accustomed to a lot of their albums, but there was that one album, In Color and Black and White, that stood out. Because that I Want You to Want Me, and I heard Budokan before that album. But Downed, the song Downed off of In Color and Black and White, that is my favorite like Cheap Trick song.
Wow,
that's
you're
a
going
summer song.
Deep tracks.
Because the first album I owned was the soundtrack to the movie with Matt Dillon, Over the Edge, which had the Cars, Van Halen, Jimi Hendrix, you know, Cheap Trick, Little Feat. That was like my first compilation album of rock and roll music. So that sort of started like, all right, where to go?
Soundtrack.
Where to go?
Nice.
Over the Edge. So, but I could have, you know, that was a great summer album. And that song Down came from In Color. So that's Cheap Trick for you. Still very much in my heart. Summertime music. Great stuff.
I can't wait to hear your songs. Keep going.
All right.
You do a bunch of yours and then I'll tell you some.
Okay. Much. Like we'll do a little cluster and then we'll switch off. All right. That way I don't sound like a blowhard. Even though I do sound like a blowhard on the radio. Can't help it, folks. Now this doesn't, I'm not going to go in chronological order.
You can
just
go in any order.
I mean, that was
want.
1970. That was a 77 album, but I came hip to it in 78. So, you know, throughout those years, it was just songs, top 40. I wasn't getting into albums at 6 years old, even though they were around and I remember some, but it, you know, in terms of it, the album that doesn't happen until you're a little bit older and you got your own allowance or something, right?
Yeah, let me just interject for a second and tell you, when I was 6 or 7 years old, I remember we got a hold of the Beatles' Penny Lane and with Strawberry Fields Forever on the flip side. It was a single. I swear we listened to that thing like 10 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, and I didn't know what an album was yet, but the first album I got was the Monkees album because we watched the Monkees on TV.
Of course.
You know what?
And that is one that should have made my list. The Monkees' Greatest Hits, 1970, Columbia House.
Yeah, when you're on the train going to Clarksville, you know.
These albums, right? Columbia House, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My mother was getting X amount of albums for a penny, and you know, it was like, wow. Even at that age,
they're
I was
never
just like,
really a penny, though.
Well, you don't have to pay. I mean, it's like a library book or a video. You know, you really, what is going to happen? You know, they'll come after you, but after so many years, you just move on.
Do you still owe the Columbia House money?
Oh, yeah, I got tons of those albums.
It stays on your permanent record.
Yeah. No wonder. Maybe that's why my credit's bad.
Yeah, I know. I can relate to that.
All right,
not because of that, but
you know, like I said, I'm not going to go in order here, but I'm going to throw the I'll throw the year out at you, and you know, we're going to jump around, make it more fun, right?
Yeah.
A song called "Combination of the Two" by Big Brother Holding Company, Janis Joplin,
nice.
Off of Cheap Thrills album. Now, I would imagine if you were alive and well when that album came out, that was your summer album. That album had a lot of stuff on it.
It was the summer of love, too, wasn't it? Around 68 did that came out?
66 technically was the summer of love, I think.
Oh, 66?
Maybe. I don't know. You know, like, you said I'm very big on his history, but what do you
It was either 60, it was somewhere in.
Jump in if you got the facts.
You're in the right range for sure, but I can't pinpoint it either.
I'm going to say it's 66, and you got your Google.
That seems early.
You got your Google machine, but.
That seems early, but I may be wrong.
You know why it seems early? Because 67 was the commercialized sort of
67 was the summer of love, right. So we were both wrong.
All right,
but I was right. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, it all started in 66. History will tell us. You just follow the trail.
Well,
follow the marijuana trail of Jefferson Airplane and wherever, you know, Grateful Dead.
I'm willing to bet that Big Brother and the Holding Company were hanging out with Jefferson Airplane and you know, those other bands in the beatnik part of the Golden Gate Park, was it? Yeah, Golden Gate Park.
Haight-Ashbury. That's where
there
it all started. That's where it all started. But yeah, that song, and you know, and going back to soundtrack, that I can't say, oh yeah, I grew up, I knew that song when I was 10 years old. You know, that's not what this list is about today. It's literally, that song came to me in 98. And I've heard it before and heard that album. But in the context, once again, of a movie soundtrack, the movie Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, based on Hunter S. Thompson's book, starring Johnny Depp, Dice del Toro, directed by Terry Gilliam, the soundtrack to that movie, once again, like a rock and roll soundtrack, Buffalo Springfield, Big Brother Holding Company, Tom Jones, Perry Como. Booker T and the MGs. Man, there was other stuff on there. You know, songs like "My Mother Told Me Not to Come," "Three Dog Night."
Oh,
so
yeah,
based
I love
around
that one.
Yeah, based around that sort of culture of Hunter S. Thompson, what he was listening to. And you know, you want to talk about a great soundtrack, summer soundtrack? That's a good one. If you like the movie, you like the book, soundtrack gives you a little music. So, yeah, that was good. That came to me in 98.
I see a soundtrack show in our future. I see it.
All right.
I see a soundtrack show because I'm into a lot of soundtracks.
Me too, yeah. I am too.
Definitely.
This whole list could have been soundtracks and I would have been okay with it, but I didn't, you know.
This is your soundtrack of Summer Love.
Yeah. Yeah, Summer Love.
Summer of Love.
Happened so fast.
2025 Summer of Love.
Yeah. Happened at last. But yeah, so that you know, I got to say real quick, that was an important summer for me. I think I was like maybe late 20s before I was still on the South Shore. I've just got a hold of Hunter S. Thompson and got a hold of some other things too. And just needed to, you know, like you just like need, like an album, you know, it's like a band covering an album. Like I was a writer. I wanted to write and I'm like, I got to cover this guy. I'm going to be like a tribute author to Hunter S. Thompson. I'm going to write. So I just went out and I'm like, where did he go? What did he do? How did he do it? What did it feel like? I just wanted to experience it. And he kind of did that, you know, on his own when he was younger, of like some of his favorite writers sort of went on their little treks. But
is he high on your writers list?
Or he's at the top.
He's at the top?
He started all of this.
Yeah.
But, you know, just as influential, I learned how to back away and find my own voice in writing over the years. I don't do it much anymore, but that's a whole other discussion.
Okay, I'm going to just tell you some of my favorite
writers.
Yeah, go ahead. Have anything with music or poetry or whatever. Lester Bangs is always going to be way up on my list.
Yep.
Charles Bukowski.
Yep.
John Fonte, who influenced Charles Bukowski.
Awesome
those,
writer.
Those are E.E. Cummings. Those are some of my favorites. I'm just figuring
out. Road to L.A.,
yeah,
Ask
yeah.
the Dust.
Oh, you know John Fonte.
I read all that
Arturo Bandini.
Arturo Bandini,
and
yeah.
And then Bukowski started calling himself Henry Chinansky.
Right.
Got that whole thing
right.
from John Fonte.
Yep. Yeah, both L.A. dudes. But yeah, so I mean, you know, again, you know, soundtracks can open up a whole other palette, you know, and that's the importance of music. Music gives things. Music can motivate. Music can give, you know, character. I mean, again, we're talking soundtracks, so. But on that soundtrack, lots of great albums. It's a compilation album. You know, maybe in the 70s you were buying like Mellow Gold, you know, 20 songs from the 70s. Or like, you know, Starflight, you know, whatever those compilations were put out by K-Tel.
Compilations
were cool. K-Tel did a hell of a job. But then the movie soundtrack became just as important, sometimes more important and better than the film. And we could do that soundtrack show.
Absolutely.
Soundtrack's better than the movie. Okay, moving forward, and then I'm going to step out of the way a little bit because I've done maybe like, well, I've done three so far, but we've put about 10 others that aren't on the list in this. See how this is going to work? But Beck, not Jeff Beck, but Beck Hansen, you know, the late 80s, early 90s indie artist. His album, Mellow Gold, that had the song Loser and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But that one song, till this day, really gets me off of that album. And I just it reminds me of like mid-90s, like it was hot one day. I don't know where we were, and I heard this song. And it was very much in the same sense as bands like Ween, who did a lot of experimental four-track stuff.
Push the little daisies and make them come up.
Make them come up. Same. I was into that four-track lo-fi because I was doing
this. I love it.
I was in my house, like the Tascam four-track, being like, I suck, so I'll just make some music here. No one wants me in their band, you know, like, fuck Boston.
He did it. It only took 19 minutes for the FCC to give us a call. It's okay. That's it. You're fired after this.
Is there a delay?
There won't be a delay when this comes out as a podcast, I can tell you.
I can
you
hear
that.
Him coming up the stairs now.
Oh, I'm subject to punishment, folks.
It was really fast. I'm not quite sure it really came out all the way. Did it?
That was a bad one.
It was about the worst you could do unless you start using the C word, you know?
Yeah, let's just plant that seed, Steve.
Oh, boy. A wholesome show about music, and I got to drop F-bomb. That's just terrible. My apologies. You can send that fine citation to the following address.
So you should be sorry.
Moving forward, though, Steve, Truck Driver Divorce was the song.
Truck Driver Divorce.
Yeah, and I won't even recite the lyrics because I already did. So, ouch, man, come on. This is why, this is why a lot of things.
It's okay, man.
All right.
Mike hasn't thrown you out yet. It
was made clear. I got to the first time we did this without it.
You want me to share some of my
favorite songs? Go for it, Steve.
Okay, this is really out of left field, okay? When I was with a bunch of my buddies in the summer of 77, I was still a teenager, and we drove down to New York, I heard this song, right? Kid Charlemagne from the Royal Scam album by Steely Dan. And the line, is there gas in the car? Yes, there's gas in the car. That was my summer song that year because we barely ever had money for gas in the car. And here we are to New York from Worcester. We drove from Worcester to Westchester County. And
you're saying Worcester as, because that's...
Worcester.
Thank you, Charles, for pointing out that
I mean, he lives there. I mean, that's like me calling, like, I live in... I live in Somerville. That's spelled S-U-M-M-E-R.
Well, I always call Worcester Wormtown myself, But anyways...
Still going over it. All right,
I don't know if this qualifies for what you're talking about of summer song, but for me, when you're driving along with your buddies and you have enough money for beer, but you don't have barely enough money for gas, and you're I think I was 18.
How is that not a summer song?
Well, it was to me, and that's why it's on my list.
I mean, if you said you were 6 years old and you were relating to it, I'd be like, that's a little rough, man.
Well, I was a teenager. And what's really ironic here is I have another Steely Dan song in 79, Reeling in the Years. It came out in 19... Okay, now, Kid Charlemagne, I'm not sure it came out in 77. It might have come out earlier. That's when I heard it. The same situation with Reeling in the Years. And it came out in 73, but I remember 1979. I'm in college, and it's a fantastic song about college life, and it's summertime and you're reeling in the years. Incredible guitar work on that record.
Yeah.
Skunk Baxter and Denny Diaz and Elliot Randall. It was really weird. I was looking at the credits and there's a guy named Elliot Randall that gets credited with playing the lead on that song.
Hmm.
And I'm trying to think, wait a second, Skunk Baxter and Denny Diaz, what did they do? But anyways, that song to me was a summer song.
I mean
Reeling in the Years
was Donnie Fagen bringing people into the studio and bringing other guitarists,
isn't
playing.
That always what it Steely Dan has done?
I don't know. I know Roger Waters attempted it a couple times and
he did good with it too. He got some really good guitar players. Well,
he had David Gilmour. I mean,
well, after Gilmour.
That's what I'm talking about. But I mean, that's how Floyd sort of fell apart. They're like, well, I guess it's Roger's band. Just like, well, you guys ain't writing The Wall, Final Cut, or Animal. So like, if you left it to the rest of the band, we would have probably got three albums,
okay,
like Momentary Lapse of Reason.
This is
is
what we're calling a sidebar to our conversation.
Yeah, right.
I will always say Roger Waters is Pink Floyd.
Indeed.
And a lot of people will argue with me like, oh yeah, but David Gilmour sang more songs. And I'm like, he didn't write the songs. Roger Waters wrote all the songs.
Yeah.
Okay. It's really funny because I have a summer song on my list, 1978. Dogs by Pink Floyd.
Fantastic
song.
To
me, it's some of the band's best work. And I remember when that came out that year, all I did was listen to Animals nonstop. It's the greatest Pink Floyd album, if you ask me.
Hands down is. I agree, Steve.
Yeah.
There's phases of Floyd. But yeah, that...
Talking about Sid.
But that part in the song Dogs where it just gets kind of quiet and the keyboard's playing and you hear the dogs barking in the background. Sounds like my house every night. Like there's a dog across the street that just keeps barking all night.
As much as I said it was Roger's band, you got to give Gilmour credit for the lead in that song.
You got to give all of those guys credit up to the point where they couldn't fight the man anymore. Up until Dark Side. I mean, up until that, you heard a lot of elements coming from each. Now, we don't want to get into Pink Floyd here, but we might return. So we'll probably return back to Pink Floyd.
So you probably have a Pink Floyd song
probably
on your list.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do one more, and then I'll give it back to you. 1980, Heaven and Hell, Black Sabbath, Ronnie James Dio.
Wow.
It was just like, for me, I remember that song when I first heard it. I couldn't stop listening to it. It was just brilliant. You know, I didn't think anyone could ever fill in for Ozzy, but Ronnie James Dio did a great job.
He did, yeah.
So that's a summer song for me.
Steely Dan, Black Sabbath, not on my list. But I can see how they would be, and I would have gone in for, I don't know, you know, if we had the top 50, I bet you one Steely Dan song would have made it.
You know, what's really weird is I have grown to like, I've always thought Steely Dan had great songs, and I think this whole yacht rock thing is a pile of, you know, I won't say it because I don't want to get the FCC back at
us.
Because I don't understand the whole yacht rock, why they call it yacht rock and all that. And you know, plenty of people try to explain it to you.
How many people do you know in your, it's sort of like, you know, tax bracket owns a yacht? None, most likely. Maybe a couple that are successful friends.
I wouldn't want a yacht if I had the money to afford
but that,
a yacht.
You said you don't understand it. That's what it is. It's about having money, having all the bells and whistles, and
well, what does Michael McDonald have to do with
because
that?
Because these people listen to
Christopher
crap
Cross.
Crap's okay, right?
Crap's okay.
People listen to crap when they were younger, and it's nostalgic for them. So when they get older, just like all of us, like we're doing right now, let's talk about the songs that we used to love. Well, you know, we're going to go golfing after this, right?
Right. I do like Steely. Well, the point I was going to make, though, is Steely Dan is really continues to grow on me as the years go by. I was listening to Asia, a record I didn't think I liked at all because I liked the early stuff and they got boring as time went on. But the musicianship is hard to ignore.
It's hard to ignore.
They bring in these amazing jazz guys. And
who
they
made just mediocre pop music. Good voice. And it was a refined. It was a pop version of Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
here I am trying to compliment Steely Dan, and Charles just kind of just took all the steam
Sorry.
Out of it for me. But that's okay because reeling in the years and songs like that are always going to be like songs I'm going to love. Do It Again, you know, and there's more. I'm having a mental block now, but there's a million Steely Dan songs that I like. But anyway, take it away, Charles.
Wow, I'm swearing. I'm stealing your airtime. I'm just no good on the radio
you're not,
anymore.
I used to
be a radio host.
Listen, I don't usually argue with people and try and defend Steely Dan, so that's a first for me.
Steely Dan story. I think it was the summer of 2000, and could have been 2004, and I was asked if I wanted to go see Steely Dan, and I said, well, I guess. Summer concert, sure, fun in the sun. It rained all day, and they didn't have an opener. And they played for 3.5 hours.
I believe that.
And I just dreaded the second set because I did not enjoy the first set. But then the lightning was more.
Was this Greatwoods?
Yeah.
I saw them at Greatwoods too, but it was after Walter Becker had died.
I went because there was a foundation of respect for them. I'm going to go on to Steely Dan. Okay, the next, I got a couple more. All right, far cry from Steely Dan. But as I made this list, I'm starting to realize of the music I listened to when I was younger. And this is where I needed to get out of my way. And I'm not saying this stuff, I don't like this stuff now, but it just didn't, when I sat down to make this list, what's that? It looks like urine.
It's iced tea.
Oh, okay.
I only drink iced, sorry, I was talking, I wasn't in the microphone. It's iced tea, it's all I ever drink is iced tea. How could you never have noticed
iced tea,
that?
No ice?
No ice, you're right, the ice melted. There's a lot of lemon.
Some people order that. I'll have iced tea, no ice. It's just like, you want refrigerated tea.
It's right. Going to be hard staying on topic. I got to tell you, this morning I went in a Diesel Cafe. I walk in the door and there's nobody there. It's empty. And I'm like, I love when all the Patriots go hang out in Hampton Beach and leave us alone so we can go into our favorite places and not stand in long lines.
They're all on their yachts today.
They were. All right, let's get far away from the yacht, the iced tea, and Steely Dan, shall we? And I'm not going in order, but 1993, right? Yeah. Is the year that I think this, 93. Could have been the year before. But Dr. Dre, The Chronic, hip-hop.
Wow, I didn't expect you to go there.
Yeah, well, look at my generation, right? Look when hip-hop hit. and the time it was. It was sort of like one of early teens, even, well, 11, 12, before then, but really when it kind of MTV brought it into perspective. I was in junior high.
You're talking about Run DMC,
exactly.
Public Enemy, the early days. Of
yeah, man. You know, I can't, this could have been a whole hip hop list because I realized through the late 80s into like the mid 90s, that's all I was listening
Gin
to.
Gin and Juice would be a good
all of them.
Song.
Yeah, Gin and Juice. I mean, but it was Let Me Ride off of the Chronic.
Oh.
And that was, there was a sample that Dre took from Funkadelic, the song, I think Let Me Ride from Funkadelic, yeah. I could have done a lot of research, but I woke up at 8 o'clock this morning and rolled out of bed and came here. So
must be nice.
Yeah. But
this is the HD let me ride session of Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico, ladies and gentlemen. Did I even say that right? HD, DH, DH.
The importance of that album, right? ADHD.
ADHD.
All right.
Sorry, I have it too.
Well, that was a good example that you do have it, because you just walked out of the conversation to try to remember what it was called. But not Beck. Dr. Dre, Let Me Ride. That's the album that introduced Snoop Dogg.
Wow.
He was 19 years old on that album. So that album was important everywhere.
That was pre-Gin and Juice.
It was about a year before or so, and or within the same year, Snoop came out with Doggy Style. And, you know, think about that era. You talk about the summer, music. This is when it was okay now. Everyone was smoking weed. All the
we
bands,
can say that on the radio,
it's
right,
legal,
Mike?
Steve.
It's legal.
Okay,
and,
I'm just making
and
sure.
And by the way, Doggy Style is okay to say on the radio.
Yeah, just don't think too hard what it looks like.
No.
and how it's done. So
you ruin everything.
He's really trying hard to like get off the topic here. I mean,
Chronic, though. That was a good album. The Chronic, that's when I really delved in. I was like, you know, yeah, from that culture of marijuana.
I bet that's what he did.
The Beastie Boys, right?
Love them.
Right. Yeah. Of that, you know, I don't want to bore anyone with my hip-hop, but this stuff's very important in terms of what was popular that year. All the hair metal. People wiping their behinds with it by that. Well, wiping their behinds with their hair at that point.
I was too.
So it couldn't have been you just couldn't go back to it at that point. So hip hop to me was appealing. It was, if you think about it, it's rebel music. It is the last form of music that I think that has emerged out of what we call American music. You could say DJs this, DJs that, but they're just constantly remixing, and it's for dance, and it's always been that way since people went to discotheques. Even before disco, what was it? You know, there was always some sort of place like let's get together and dance, right? But with hip hop, I found that there was an independence to it. There was everything that punk rock and metal had when it first came out. You know, you even had guys like Axl Rose and Dr. Dre seeing eye to eye in the whole, you know, remember that?
Yeah.
Axl Rose's song.
I try not to remember it.
But the song that Guns N' Roses put out, One in a Million. And, you know, that touched base on a lot of racy topics at the time. And Dr. Dre found it very endearing for a white rock and roll guy to be using the same language that he was. Even people didn't agree with it. You're talking about a pretty harsh time now, gangster rap. So that turned a lot of heads, is my point.
And then there was Straight Outta Compton was the record for me, man.
Was it? Okay.
I dug that record. I still like it to this day.
Go back and listen to The Chronic. It's a good one. If you like, I mean, on that album you have it's pretty much a Funkadelic album with rhyming. Really well, and it was a lot of that stuff was written and produced by Dr. Dre, so it was beyond past the sampling era. You couldn't do that anymore. I think one of the last albums was Paul's Boutique by the Beastie Boys, a Low End Theory by a Vibe Called Quest, Tribe Called Quest. But if you need a name for a band, go for Vibe Called Quest. And then one more, and I'm gonna throw it back to you. And I don't know what you got next, but this album really hit me when it came out, but it hit me even more in 2007 when I went back and listened to it. And it was Caius's album, Welcome to Sky Valley.
Ooh.
Gardenia was the song, and you know, when I need an attitude adjustment, I just turn that song up loud and just bolt down the highway. It's a good highway song. And if you're on the if you're on the highway in the summer, that's the place to be.
Stoner Rock, baby. I'm down with the Stoner Rock. You know what I did next is I have 83, 84, 85, 86, and 87. Don't ask me why, but I went to those years and I refreshed my memory and I came up with some songs that are going to surprise you a little bit. In 1983, when I found out about this band called Flipper from San Francisco and I heard Sex Bomb, that was definitely my summer song for 1983, Sex Bomb by Flipper. In 84, you know, this is the diversity I have. I'm in L.A. and I'm listening to Jump by Van Halen and Round and Round by Rat. When that came out, you know, we're back to the hair metal now. I to me, that was a song I heard all the time, and I remember it from the summer of 84. It really stuck with me. It was my first full year in the music business living in California, where you have summer every day, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, I get a kick out of people out here, and they'll talk about beautiful weather. Let's face it, there's like 10 good days a year in New England of good weather, and the rest of the weather stinks.
Today's topic has just been thrown in the basket by Steve, who used to live out in L.A., and he's right. Summer exists every day out there.
It does. But, you know, and out here, if you want to call 95 degrees and high humidity a good day, well, that's fine, but I don't call that a good day at all. I say call that get in the house, put the air on, and start painting, dude.
Well,
that's what I call it.
Because you lived in L.A., in year-round, you felt the nuances of weather out there. You felt the hot day in L.A., and you felt the mild day in
Every
L.A.
Every day was summer.
You know, but there was a coldness occasionally to L.A. that you probably felt like, ooh, it's a little brisk. And other people were, like, walking around in their tank tops and shorts and pools. Be like, yeah, it's 70 degrees.
Yeah, but, you know, when I moved out there, to me, it could be like 40, and I still think it was
warm.
Because I moved there like in the middle of winter.
No, I mean, it happens, you know. But my point is, though, being out in L.A., I could go two ways to follow you up on this.
Well, let me do 1985 first, because I have a feeling something to say about this. There were like three songs that came out in 1985 that were like all over the place, that everywhere you went, and you'd hear them all the time, and they remind me of the summer that year. Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds. Everybody Wants to Rule the World, another one of your favorite bands, Tears for Fears. And how about Some Like It Hot by Power Station?
I can hang.
Andy and John Taylor. I can hang with them. Palmer.
That was, you know what, man? Like, now we're talking about... We're talking about summer
songs. We're talking
songs,
about the 80s.
And we're not really going back to the albums, I guess, as I thought we would, because that would be a bigger topic. But, you know, we are referencing the album. That album, though, that's 85.
Yeah.
85 could have potentially been one of the best years for top 40 summer music. Whether we like
these songs. Well, just based on the songs I just said,
right?
Don't you think?
Well, you know, I understand.
You don't have to be a fan of everyone.
No, the first two are very popular. I think they could give it a rest on
radio.
Something
Like It Hot was really popular,
too. It's a good one,
though.
That's what I'm talking about. Power Station, because you had this super group, Duran Duran, Robert Palmer. Two artists.
Tony Thompson on the drums is
not familiar.
Really good drummer.
I didn't know he was on the drums. I thought Duran Duran's drummer.
Nope, it was Tony Thompson.
Right. Well, so yeah, you know, you have like.
I didn't mean to say it like that.
But
I'm not
yeah.
trying to correct you.
But
you,
no, that's
you're
a,
an encyclopedia of music. I would not try to correct you.
Well, 1985, right? John was Elton John, right? He put out a bunch of stuff, right? I guess that's why they call it the blues.
Was Kiki D that year?
That's late 70s.
Okay.
Don't go breaking my heart. That's 79, I think. But what happened is that you have like all this stuff, like, you know, like these bands that were more important. The songs were bigger than albums. Today, people say, oh, well, songs are bigger than albums.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's going all the way down to new bands now, only putting singles out before.
Right.
Like, everyone's into this phase now. Let's just release a single every six
weeks. That's the way it started, though. That's the way bands started doing it. You know, and a good example is going to...
What do you think of that, changing the little sidebar here? Do you think it's good that album rock is not really relevant anymore and it's all about singles?
It's been pushed in that direction, and then it's based on what people want, based on what's being pushed into that direction. So if you give people a heap of dung and say, this is what everybody's going for right now, someone's going to be like, all right, I guess.
Why do you have to follow the leader, though?
Because you don't follow people, the leader.
No,
that's
because
for sure.
People think leadership is important. And at the end of the day, they make the decisions for the laws and rules and morals are great and all, but you know, they just don't, no one's obeying them. So it's how good do you want to feel at the end of the day? I don't know. That's a whole other discussion, but yeah, I don't know, you know, leadership. It's a whole other discussion. Some of the best leaders have not been leaders to me. I don't even know. I can't even talk about that right now. You just opened up a whole can of worms.
I'm just wondering because
it's an industry. What is going to work best for the industry? You know, I mean, look at, like, I don't know. I talked about all these records around that aren't being used because everything's pretty much in a little computer or flash drive. I mean, this is just for show.
I don't like it. I wish there was some turntables going.
I mean,
I
don't know who owns these records, but I could make them a lot of money.
You know, they ruined them all though because they wrote the call letters on the vinyl and on the covers, and they ruined the value of the cover of the record. Well, and you know, I was in college radio at one time, probably doing the same thing, which nobody knew vinyl was going to become as valuable as it is. You know, okay, let's get back to the list.
Summer songs.
Take it away.
I wasn't around then, and again, a band that released a single that became a huge hit. Once it was put on a greatest hits album was Sly and the Family Stone, who Sly Stone just passed away. And Hot Fun in the Summertime. Mm-hmm. That was the song. I didn't know who did it. I didn't care when I was a kid, but it was just on the radio. And there was something about it, like as a child, like, what's this? Kind of like his music. Like, I went back late 80s. Started listening to soul music, but I went back to Sly, and I kept going back and back and back. And I realized I just heard all these songs growing up, and I loved them.
Sly rules.
Hot Fun in the Summertime reminds me. I mean, everyone had that moment when they were a kid in the back seat of the car driving when AM radio was alive and well, and that's what you listened to. I always wanted to go for rides. We're going to the store. Oh, we're going to visit your grandmother. And I'm like, I want to go because I want to listen to the radio. I want to hear what's on the radio. I didn't know how much it mattered to me. It just was so natural and intrinsic how much I cared about what was on the radio. I mean, you're sitting here, you're shaking your head. If you didn't feel that way, you'd probably be like working at, like, I don't know where you'd be working or what you'd be doing today, but you might not be at or doing this.
Radio as a concept is so overarching for all of us when we grew up. I mean, like you said, it was very personal to them.
Yeah.
What station did you have on in the car? Is that my station? No. like BCN around here. I mean, you mentioned Sly. All that stuff you heard where? On the radio.
Yeah.
That used to tell us what to listen to.
I just thought of a summer song. You just made me think of a...
Don't let the ADD get too bad. I took my meds before I came here.
I think it's too late for them.
I take a med every day, but twice a day, but it doesn't really seem to help. Well, it helps in some things. But you started talking about Sly, and I love Sly, and it just, all of a sudden, in my head, I'm hearing, Tell Me Something Good by Rufus is in my
great
head.
Tune.
I don't know why it just popped into my head, because that
Shaka
was
Khan.
A radio song when I was young.
Shaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
That great summer song, I Feel For You. I don't know much about the album.
I Feel For You,
but
good
I Feel
one.
For You is a great summer song. Not on your list of mine, and... Wow, we're creating our own list as we go along here. But yeah, so I mean, you know, there you go. Sly Stone, great tune. Before my time, but it was definitely alive and well in 72, 73, probably when I was one or two or three or four or five. I could have been 10.
I would recommend to anybody out there to go listen to Sly and the Family Stone, and I'm telling you, you're going to feel better about everything because they make you feel good.
I got to say, moving forward with that too, another album that came about when I was younger, I mean, not too much younger, but it was the Cars' first album. Because of living in Boston and hearing all those songs. And I'll tell you, if they didn't have that keyboard player in the band, I think as a kid I wouldn't have even been like, what's that? And you know, I mentioned the Over the Edge soundtrack from 1979 starring Matt Dillon. You can watch it on YouTube. It's one of the greatest, you know, teenage suburban rebellion films, you know. it influenced movies like Dazed and Confused and whatever else came out after that. But the bands that were chosen for that soundtrack, once again, were definitely like bands that suburban youth was listening to at the time. And The Cars, Just What I Needed, was on that. And I love that song. You know, I love that tune. I still do. But
you guys are talking about listening to the radio and stuff when you're young and everything. I grew up in Worcester County, so AAF was my Huckleberry at that time. They were playing Let the Good Times Roll before anybody was. I mean, I remember going out to Western Mass and seeing The Cars open for the Climax Blues Band at the Music Inn in the summer of 78, and nobody even knew who The Cars were there. They were all there to see the Climax Blues Band. Climax Blues Band had a hit song, and people knew them, and that's why they were there.
Was it the song "I Love You"?
I can't remember the name of that.
Yeah, it was a ballad
hit song.
It was a ballad.
But here's the thing: when The Cars played, my friend Kenny and I, we were able to walk right in front of the stage, and we were transfixed with Rick Ocasek. And then later on, he was having a hot dog with his kid, and we went over and talked to him, and the guy was like about 7 feet tall. But I remember "Let the Good Times Roll" is a great example of a summer, just like "Just What I Needed."
Yeah,
they're real summer songs.
Yep. No, they had that sound. I mean, they were definitely. They had a hand in the early rock and roll sound, and they brought in that new wave element.
Yeah, they were one of the big early new wave bands, if you ask me.
Well, we don't have a lot of time left, so I think we should try to get through.
Shut up on my own show.
No, well, both of us, right? I think if we want to get, how much more do you have left?
I only have a couple songs left.
All right, let me get through a few of mine, and then we'll end with you, right?
Okay.
We like to talk about the production, how we're going to produce the show while we're doing it live. But,
need a script when I have Charles Rivers
around. All right, so real quick, we don't have to discuss too much, but just to take a nod to some of these albums, and I will talk about a couple of them, but I became really heavily into reggae in 1993, grew up, knowing it, hearing it, but 93, once again, I talked about The Chronic, I talked about the Beastie Boys, I talked about Beck. There is a common denominator here, folks. There was a particular plant in my life that wasn't beforehand, so that did change how music was interpreted and listened to. And with that said, I don't know. We could go in a million directions here, but with that said, I would say...
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
He
knew
that.
You were going to, yeah.
Go ahead.
Do you ever go to that plant, roll some of it up, and listen to Bob Dylan for a couple hours?
No, boring.
I did.
Boring guy to listen to, hi.
Oh.
But... we could have a whole Bob Dylan show if you want. I can get into that. Burning Spear.
Oh,
familiar, right?
Wow, that's
Winston Rodney.
One.
Winston Rodney, Island Records. Harpy.
Shinachi?
I think the first couple of albums were put out on Island, same Bob Marley, but they pulled away because of the record deals going on. So he started putting his own material out on Heartbeat Records, which was right out of Cambridge.
Heartbeat, yeah.
Right out of Cambridge. Rounder Records was distributing it. But Burning Spear, I was hip to some of that. But when I was in Aruba in 1999, I went into a record store and I saw this album called Social Living. And I said, well, it's Burning Spear. I'm going to grab it. I put it on. I was just blown away. Best reggae album I've ever... Better than the Marley stuff. I'm sorry. Marley got his commercial due and all that. And, it always takes that one person who's got it. I think Winston Rodney wouldn't have had the charisma that Marley did. But the music of Winston Rodney really hits home when you talk about reggae and all that. It doesn't hit home for me. I'm far from Rastafarian, but... We might have a couple things in common, but yeah, Burning Spear, great album. The song Institution off of that album. Check it out. And then let's fast forward. 1985, going back to some hip-hop, Run DMC crossed over with Aerosmith on the album Raising Hell. I don't like that song, though. I'm not a fan of that at all. But
Walk
that,
This Way, you're talking
yeah,
about?
I don't like that, but I respect it.
Good
I respect
video.
It. I respect how hip hoppers, MCs said, you know what, that got a beat. These guys are rhyming, they're doing it. Let's mash it up. It was important, but they could have called Lou Reed up and did Walk on the Wild Side. They could have called some old country guy up, and that guy singing about trucks. Back from the '60s, that was rapping in a way too. But my point is that rhyming has always been a part of music, but Run DMC coming out, you know, with a rock band. That was important. It made it okay before the Beastie Boys did it, because white people weren't sure, you know, should I like this music. You hide the albums under your bed. You know, you don't want any, you know, you don't want your racist grandfather or friends coming in and being like, what you listening there?
And the irony of that is that it was suburban white kids that made rap famous.
Yeah, middle class.
They're the ones that bought all the rap records.
Well, that's the thing.
Suburban white kids.
Even to this day, who's really listening and caring about music? It's the suburban white kids, but it's more about now. You know, we're 20, 30 years from the way the 90s used to be from where we're talking. So, and it's a matter of just the middle class folks right now, what they want. You know, I think that was like, when you look at hip hop back then, it was a little like Motown in the way, like it was geared for more of an upper echelon audience. But then when you get to gangster rap, there's no forgiveness there. They're trying to talk to the people they want to talk to and address the issues they have to address. And to me, it was great because that's how I learned about what, you know, as a white guy in the suburbs, how I learned about how you all learned about or thought you learned about what was going on in the hood. You know, I grew up in a town called Brockton. So
it was a tough town.
Yeah, it's, you know, so it was hard not to like hip hop. It was around me all the time. And then I said, so anyhow, with all that said, there was a lot of hip hop. I loved it. That was definitely summer music for me. You brought up Pink Floyd.
I did.
All right. Real quick, I got a hold of the album. It was called Piper at the Gates of Dawn.
Yeah,
I bought it on
cassette.
And I put that on. I got into Floyd and all that stuff before I discovered, you know, that magical plant that we discussed. And we can talk about it. It's marijuana, for Christ's sakes. It's legal everywhere.
It's marijuana.
We're not endorsing it. We're just talking about our past.
I'm endorsing it.
But yeah, that was an interesting, you know, that was definitely an interesting release and all that. But quickly, The Cult, Electric, great summer album. Do you remember that?
Yes, of course. The Cult really blew up there for a little while, man. They had a couple records in a row that everyone was listening to.
I liked all their stuff, but I think it was Rick Rubin produced this particular album, really brought this like this raw rock and roll southwestern desert rock sound, which was cool. So, but yeah, I mean, there's more. You know, we could go on forever, Steve. You know,
we could.
We don't have all the time to go through every summer in our lives, do we?
Yeah, Rick Rubin did Electric.
He did.
That
all right,
up.
Yeah.
I only had a couple more things I was going to talk about here, and then we can wrap this up. There was a song that came out in 2019. I mentioned it at the beginning of the show, Summer Girl by Haim. Okay, I've been butchering their name nonstop, calling them Haim. Whatever. Haim. It's Haim.
Worcester.
Okay? It's three sisters.
Right.
And they're brilliant. You know, I lived in California for like a long time. You know, I don't have a Worcester accent.
Three enters playing rock and roll music. Hey, what is the world coming to?
But anyway, Haim. Summer Girl, even though the saxophone in the song is a total ripoff from Take a Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed, if you listen to it, you'll hear the sax and go, wait a minute, where'd they get this sax from? But I just wanted to mention that song because I think that song was that when that came out in 2019 was one of the first real summer songs I actually heard in a while, you know, that I could associate with summer.
Well, and then there's the song Summertime Girls by YNT. Remember that?
YNT. We're
Summertime
back in San Francisco.
Girls. That's a summer song. Makes my whole world go round. It was like embarrassing enough to like it, but you know, there's a lot, like I said, there was albums that weren't hot enough, so, but they were good at the time.
You know,
it was good at the time, but now it's just not hot enough.
This has been a lot of fun. It went by very fast. I want to ask you, Charles, do you have any shows you want to promote?
I do. I have a show tonight, July 5th. Happy July 5th, everybody, at the Plow and Stars.
You're playing tonight?
Yeah, at the Plow and Stars in Cambridge. Waylon and Co. With that is a tribute to Waylon Jennings that we do, and we also do other like songs by some of the other corresponding outlaws of that time, like Billy Joe Shaver,
You do my boy Chris Christopherson?
Yes, good. David Allen Coe. We do
Cash.
Willie. A little loose, light on the Cash, you know, these days. But overall, yeah, it's a good time.
Proud if you to like, be an Ogie from Muskogee?
Don't do that. But if you like outlaw country, outlaw rock and roll, stuff like Flying Burrito Brothers, Pedal Steel, come on and see us. Also, August 2nd at Satellite in Cambridge. That's on Cambridge Street. That's the Remnant Brewery's latest...
I don't know that place.
Establishment. Yes, the restaurant, all the beer and stuff that you love from the Remnant Brewery and more. And they got a stage there, and they're starting to put live music in there.
That's not where Bukowski's used to be, is it?
It's where the old Atwoods used to be.
Oh, wow, the
Atwoods. They've taken that space. They're doing great things with it, and we got a great night there.
It's way down.
I got Liberty.
Yeah. I mean Cambridge Street.
I got Liberty Cannabis Dispensary there helping to sponsor the night. And, with that said...
What's the date on that one?
That's August 2nd. And,
awesome,
with Liberty there, yeah, come on by.
Cool, my friend. Well, thank you for joining us today, Charles. Appreciate
it's been a pleasure.
You folks can reach me anytime at TwistedRico@gmail.com. We have Facebook, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, Tumblr, YouTube, where sometimes we show some of the Zoom interviews on YouTube. We don't have Zoom today, unfortunately. Otherwise, you get to see Charles, who always looks fantastic. He's very videogenic. I'm not sure about Mike Newman, but Charles,
I knew it.
all right, till the next time. Till the next time we say goodbye. This is Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. Keep the rock and roll alive.
Happy July 5th, people.
All right, I'm going to take a beat so that Steve will have a really easy time editing. 2, 3, 4. All right, I'm going to leave you with one more new noise from a band or a guy named Aphrodisiac. He doesn't spell that correctly. I'll give you a hint. It starts A-F-R-O, so you know where he's going for. Song called Lucky One. It's WMFO.
Won't you tell me what I'm looking for? 'Cause I don't know anymore. Tell me if I'm out of touch, arrested in development. Tell me if I'm too far gone. Tell me that maybe I'm not the only one. Pondering like a lost soul.
Ed. It's WMFO in Medford, 10:59 in the morning. That was new noise from Aphrodisiac and Lucky One. And I don't know if you're an aphrodisiac, but...
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, look at me.
All right. All right. So something about the women's a little different today, everybody.
It is. It's me.
It's not one of the lovely ladies. It's lovely Ryan.
It's lovely Ryan.
Yes.
Good to see you, buddy.
You too.
It's lovely Mike.
I didn't expect it.
I like to be like the Spanish Inquisition. Nobody expects Ryan D.
I don't know what you've made me. I don't know. I'm speechless.
That was a good show, as always, buddy.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's fun. It's interesting outside, isn't it? Nobody's around.
Nobody's around. It's my favorite time of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice.
How you been? You